forth this word. That, Father, you would allow your truth, your word, to sink into our hearts and bring us hope, bring us peace, bring us strength. Lord, whatever we may need, Lord, we trust in you to provide that need. And we give you the praise and glory, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So John is told to come up here, and I will show you the things which must take place after this. It is believed that in this verse, that after this, it refers to the time after the rapture, the tribulation. So from chapter 4, verse 2 on, it's giving us a picture, the storyline, timeline of what God is going to do after the rapture. This is believing and trusting that the rapture is going to happen before the tribulation. Again, we talked about that last week when we saw that the church at Philadelphia was promised to be kept from the hour of the worldwide trial. Another reason why we believe that this rapture happens before the tribulation is that the term church is not seen again until chapter 22 in the book of Revelation. We also see that the church, or the bride of Christ, appears in chapter 19 already with Christ in heaven before he ascends to earth to judge the wicked and to reign in the millennial kingdom. So we are left to assume or to understand that at this point the church will not be on the scene. Can we say amen? As Brother Jerry was talking about, there are just some things on this earth I do not want to be here for. And so we just trust in God's goodness and his promises towards us. So from this point forward, we're taken into the throne room of heaven. Verse number 2, it says, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes. And they had the crowns of gold on their heads. Can you picture that in your mind? One who sits there as of jasper, sardius stone, having a rainbow around the throne. And my friends, I know that the homosexual community has taken the rainbow for their use, but it was never theirs to begin with. It belongs to God. It has a promise attached to it. And so when I speak of the rainbow here, I don't want anyone getting the wrong idea. It does not have anything to do with condoning the homosexual lifestyle. But it says that around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders. Now, one of the things that I've learned in Bible study and through different teachers is that when you see numbers in Scripture, they usually have some sort of significance. And here the number 24 is associated with the priesthood. It is being the double of the number 12, which is God's power and authority, as well as the perfect foundation. We see that these 24 elders on the thrones around them, that there's a power, there's an authority that is there, but it's also a part of a priesthood. Some people believe that this number 24 represents the whole church in heaven. But others believe that this represents both Israel and the church joined together in worship. Remember, Israel had what? 12 tribes. Okay? So, and the church had what? 12 apostles. So we're seeing that it's possible that either one of these could be applicable. But these are the people who are around the throne. Verse 5 says, "And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." Seven is the number of completeness and perfection. You've heard that seven is the perfect number. You get 777 and people are like, woohoo! Yeah, it's perfect. But the seven spirits of God represent the presence of the Holy Spirit. We talked about that in an earlier chapter. So imagine this. Again, these angels or these elders around the throne. And already the beautiful, awesome picture that we see in the first part of this chapter. And then to add to it the sound of thunderings, the visual of lightnings. You want to talk about shock and awe? Desert Storm had nothing compared to what I believe goes on in heaven. And so we go on into verse 6. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The number four represents creation. And Dr. Brian Cutshaw actually gave a kind of a teaching of what these four creatures were as far as what they represented. And if I remember it well, the lion represents the authority of the power that's bestowed. The second, the calf, the sacrificial aspects of who we are. And the face of the man, again. And the fourth is the flying eagle. And I'd rather not, and I'll just be honest with you, I don't remember that well, so I don't want to teach that right at this moment and say this is actually what it is. So please don't read too much into that yet. I don't want to teach you wrong. But there is distinct, as far as creation is concerned, those creatures, I believe, are a sign or a representation of creation. The four living creatures represent the entire living creation. All of creation will bring glory and honor to Him in heaven and be redeemed from the curse of sin. Now here's where it starts to get interesting. And Dr. Cutshaw brought out something that made us think. And I think, if I remember correctly, it's one of those things he said, this is what the Bible says. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. But remember, the number four is a sign or resembles creation. In verse 8 it says, "The four living creatures, each having six wings which were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Now what he brought out in this is that all creation will worship Him. All creation will worship Him. The way he put it, he said, the saying that all dogs go to heaven, he said, I believe it's true. We're told later in Scripture that the lion will lay with the lamb. And so he says, I believe that all creation will have a voice and will cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Creation cannot help but to cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." So that cat that you don't like, it's going to be there in heaven too. I laugh because I have a cat that I don't. No, I love my cat. But here, the holy, 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 that number three is another number of completeness. And what this spoke to me is that God is complete in his holiness. There is nothing that he lacks in his holiness. We talked about the past this morning. He doesn't have a bad past. He doesn't have things that he has done that he's ashamed of. There may have been some things that he did that he regretted. We see that in Scripture when man's wickedness got so bad that he said, I shouldn't have made him. Because he was so, because of his holiness, he was just so, what is the word? Well, hurt, yeah, maybe. I don't know if he was hurt or just disappointed. But he has nothing in his past that would be considered bad. He's holy. 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 Verse 9, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worships him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist or were created. So we have a picture of the throne room of God. We have a picture of who God is, and we start to get another picture now of who Jesus is. In chapter 5, the first verse says, And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. This book that is in the right hand of him who sits on the throne is very important. For in it, it contains the revelation of what God has determined for the future course of the world and humanity. It describes who the world will be judged by at the end and portrays the final triumph of God and his people over all evil. When each seal is opened, a portion of the book's contents or the scroll's contents is revealed. Okay? Do you understand what this is saying? In his right hand, there's a scroll. A book that has written down what must happen from that time that we talked about to the millennial reign. And there are seven seals. And for each of those seals to be opened, something special has to take place. Because it says in verse number 2, Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So it says in verse 4, So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. See, it's felt that John weeps here because if the scroll cannot be opened, then God's purpose of judgment and blessing for the world will remain unfulfilled. We see that Christ is pictured here as the Lion. And as you know, the Lion is the King of Beasts, indicating he will rule as king of all the earth. Amen? Not only he is from the tribe of Judah, but he is also from the root of David, another title for him as the messianic king. These titles of Jesus portray him as the conquering Messiah and eternal king according to the promises made to David. If you don't remember the promise of David, I'll paraphrase it, and let you know that God told him, you will have descendants on the throne forever. Jesus was from the lineage of David. And so when Jesus is given the throne and declared as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he is fulfilling that promise that was given to David. Verse 6 says, and I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out onto all the earth. The lamb, the term lamb, is the foremost symbol for Christ in Revelation. The wrath of the lamb will come upon those who have rejected his redemptive sacrifice as the Lamb of God. I'm reminded of the sacrificial structure of Israel and how, in order for sins to be covered, they had to sacrifice lambs upon the altar. Remember the Passover when they were in Egypt, and God told them, this is how I want you to do this. You will prepare a lamb and you'll eat it and put its blood on your doorpost. And at this time, my angel will come through, and if your blood is not on the doorpost, I will take your firstborn. And if it is, I will pass over. This lamb, when Jesus came and he died, became the lamb, the sacrificial lamb, once and for all. The seven horns that we see here represent the power and strength of a ruler. The seven spirits of God again represent the Holy Spirit. Verse 7 says, then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Here it is believed that that this refers to the intercession of the saints for the coming of the kingdom when they will reign on earth. Look at this song. It says, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have been redeemed, and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. It says in verse 11, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in the heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. We see there once again that all creation, it says that every creature, which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor. All creation, every creature will cry out. Remember when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem on his triumphant entry, they told him to be quiet. He says, if thieves stop praising me, the very rocks will cry out. Creation cannot resist worshiping their Creator. Oh, there may be some who for now may get away with it, but one day every tongue will confess and every knee will bow. Amen.